The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. With Bill Miles in the second hour of the Outdoors and Radio Show. We're pre-recorded today, so we won't be taking any phone calls. I'm in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina today. Took a little break from the action. I'm on vacation, first vacation I've taken in a long, long time out of state where it's just a vacation. We're not fishing, we're not hunting, we're not doing anything. We're just enjoying the weekend, and I guess I got to listen to a presentation on a timeshare, but we'll get through that. Can't worry about that right now. It's just nice to be away from town for a little bit. So anyway, our guest is Bill Miles, who's the advocate for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. If you listen to the first hour, you listen to a little bit of his bio, but Bill's been in the General Assembly in one capacity or another. The first 17 years of his working career, he spent in the General Assembly in a variety of roles and positions. Learned the process pretty well. Worked, his last job was in the Speaker's office before he went into the private sector as a lobbyist for a variety of companies and entities across Maryland. And he's right now the lobbyist for the Maryland Hunting Coalition, among others. And we're pleased to have him because Bill, as we said in the first hour, is an outdoorsman. He loves to fish. He loves to waterfowl hunt. Not much on deer hunting, though, are you?
I'm a bird man.
Bird man. You're a waterfowl man.
I am a waterfowl man.
Well, okay, since you're a waterfowl man.
Yeah.
In 2015, with the Maryland Hunting Coalition, was, I mean, brand spanky new. Not even dry behind the ears. We had a couple of major accomplishments by that time, though. We announced that we were, organizational structure was in place. The tax status was in place. But we announced the founding on National Hunting and Fishing Day on September 27th in 2014. Shortly after that, we had the meeting on October 8th, the stakeholders meeting, which was our first coalition action involving DNR. We mentioned that earlier. And it was Deer Population Report for the General Assembly. It was ordered by the General Assembly. And we had a position on that. Shortly after that, we were instrumental in, along with the Wildlife and Heritage Service, reopening 758 acres of public hunting in southern Maryland at Newtown Neck State Park. That was one of the first feathers in our cap. And then we launched into the General Assembly after the hunting season. Along the way, we had heard from several individuals that we had a very, very punitive law in the books, a doctrine, as it were, called strict liability. Bill, you're far better explaining strict liability than I am, but give us a little background of strict liability and what happened with that.
Well, the bottom line on strict liability doctrine was we were successful in repealing it in 2015.
Right.
And so knowing that, here's what the issue is. Under strict liability, and we're talking about game birding, which includes doves, so it's waterfowl.
Right, migratory birds.
Right. We call it, it's mainly for waterfowl baiting.
Federally protected and regulated
migratory
game bird.
Right, yeah, right, right. So under federal law, 1998, the Congress passed the Migratory Bird Treaty Reform Act, which basically codified a decision made by the Fifth Circuit down in the southern United States from 1977, which basically required Fish and Wildlife Service agents to prove intent that you knowingly and willfully baited an area in order to lure waterfowl for purposes of gunning.
And baiting is in every case illegal. We're not advocating to repeal
that's
the banning
right.
law or anything like that. We think that's a great idea. But this has to do with baiting, as you just stated.
Right. So the federal law basically said, you know, yeah, it's illegal to bait, okay, for waterfowl. You can bait for deer in Maryland, not all states. But for waterfowl nationwide, you cannot bait. You cannot put the grain out, the corn out, the milo. You can't,
salt,
you can't
you
do
it.
All right. But the difference is with strict liability, the feds repealed it at the federal level, which, again, to go to a court of law and be charged with baiting, that the enforcement had to prove that you willfully and knowingly knew that there was bait there and laid it out there for purposes of luring the birds. Well, Maryland did not observe the knowingly and willingly. It kept its law at absent that, which meant that NRP, the Natural Resources Police, could charge anyone waterfowl hunting with bait if, in their discretion, they so determined bait was present. Typical case is you have a 300-acre farm where the northern part is for deer hunting. They got the corn out there. And then the southern part is used for goose hunting. They come out and they goose hunt. But since there's deer, there's bait, there's corn on that field for deer, NRP could legally charge you under strict liability for baiting for goose hunting. And so a lot of good sportsmen had reputations ruined for having been charged with baiting when they really had no intent. I come to your property. I come as your guest, or I pay. All of a sudden, the NRP come out, and they charge me with baiting, and I go to a court, and I have no defense. Now, could I get me a Philadelphia lawyer and somehow wiggle out of it? Maybe 5 to 10% of the time. But 90% of the time, the judges would side with the enforcement. And a lot of individuals would just go ahead and say, okay, and just pay the $250 fine, which was an admission of guilt.
Right.
So under strict liability in Maryland, you know, if you were charged, and let's say you paid your fine because you just didn't want to hassle with it, or lost in a court of law, that you basically could not hunt in 44 states under the Wildlife Violator Compact Act. Forget going back to Canada waterfowl hunt. They're not going to let you because you were convicted of a wildlife offense in the states. And you got the criminal, you know, you got the criminal stigma of a reputation here in Annapolis, so your character is smeared. So, and there were a couple of cases, I don't want to mention the names, but there were a couple of cases recently, and we were approached, that is, the Hunting Coalition was approached to say, look, this strict liability for waterfowl hunting is hurting a lot of good people. The feds don't require it. Can you repeal the strict liability doctrine so the Natural Resources Police, like the Fish and Wildlife Service, have to prove willfully and knowingly, prove intent, guilty mind, guilty act. And otherwise, you were at the discretion in the field of the Natural Resource Police officer, and that was a scary situation for a lot of people, including myself, whenever you went hunting. And well, Alan, you want to take it to the next step then during the session?
Well, we'll take that step. But when, it's a difficult, a little bit difficult for people to understand when you say strict liability. So I just illustrate it like this. You and your three friends book a trip with a guide in Kent County. You're sitting in the blind, and an officer approaches. Gentlemen, let's check your licenses and your guns. Everything's in order here, but we've determined the field is baited. If it's a federal fish and wildlife officer, here's your ticket. See you in court. You have an opportunity to defend yourself prior to the repeal of strict liability. Same scenario, only with the difference being a natural resource police officer, Maryland Natural Resources police officer. Gentlemen, guns are fine, licenses are fine, field's baited in our opinion. Here's your ticket. You're guilty of baiting because there's bait here by our determination, and you're here. Whether you were aware of it, did it, didn't do it, you're guilty. That's strict liability.
Game over.
Yeah, game over. You're done. So at least with the federal statute, you had, an opportunity to go in and defend yourself and say, Your Honor, you know,
I had no clue.
No clue. We met the guide at McDonald's at 5:30 in the morning, and he took us to the field, and you know, we set up in the dark, you know. But that doctrine of strict liability is what was repealed,
right? And what we did, we proposed And you got to remember, the coalition had basically took an analytical perspective and really detailed the facts. You don't go to Annapolis on any kind of a statutory issue without really knowing your facts inside and out.
And that's what Bill does. Bill does the analysis. Bill does the research. Hundreds of hours on strict liability. Hundreds and hundreds of hours on strict liability. And hundreds of hours on poaching, which we'll get into in a little bit. So go ahead.
So, and you're right.
And every issue that you do.
Well, you know, when you're an analyst for the legislature for 17 years, and when you go before a committee and you say, I don't know, then that's frowned upon. You're supposed to have the answers.
Right.
So the white paper serves our testimony, and we knew all the answers. So, in essence, we go down there with a strict liability. We present our case to the General Assembly. And we don't have to be – I don't know how detailed you want to be. We almost lost a bill in the Senate.
Yep, we did.
The
committee.
The Senate committee, right.
Yeah.
The committee, our friends in the Senate Education, Health, and Environmental Affairs Committee.
Which you will hear from time to time. They're the ones that hear all the
honeybills. They're our friends.
They are.
Lawmakers on that committee listening. But they voted on a Friday afternoon during the 2015 session in February to kill the bill. And they don't have to give you a reason why they killed the bill. It's you know, the General Assembly giveth and the General Assembly taketh.
Right.
So they defeated the committee, defeated the bill, which meant that was the end of it. However, there's no need for me to go into great detail on how I apply my trade, but I will say this.
Trade secrets revealed.
won't do it, Alan.
Okay.
The following week, that following Thursday, five business days later, that same committee unanimously, 11-0, voted the bill favorably. When the dust settled in the 2015 General Assembly, all 141 members of the House of Delegates, all 47 members of the Maryland Senate voted unanimously to repeal Maryland's strict liability doctrine pertinent to waterfowl baiting.
Correct. And basically, they said, now Maryland law is the same as the federal law.
Verbatim.
You have a constitutional right to defend yourself in court law.
Baiting is still illegal.
Baiting's still
but
illegal.
But at least you have a defense
yes.
to go to court and say, Your Honor, again, I had no clue.
Right.
And if you're convicted, you're convicted. But at least your attorney has an opportunity to make a case for you, like at a federal court, that you had to have a guilty mind and a guilty act. It's mens rea and mens something
Whatever
else
it is,
in Latin.
Yeah. It's all on the website. It's all on
our articles and whatnot.
Yeah,
but it was a huge – so think logically for a minute. You're a farmer with a field that you want to lease out for $10,000 a year. You're a guide. Charges $150 a man to go kill a couple geese, a couple ducks for the day. Think if the – this is before the repeal of the strict liability doctrine, which we became effectively appealed October the 1st, 2015.
Right.
Before that time, at any given time, it was Russian roulette.
Exactly.
Whenever you went to the field, you did not know at any given time if you could be charged with baiting. And you talk about arbitrary and capricious. We're not saying the NRP would do that, but nonetheless, you were very vulnerable. So as someone who leased out the land, I'm glad that doctrine got repealed. And if I'm a guide, I'm glad that doctrine got repealed.
Exactly. All right. Strict liability in a nutshell. Again, Maryland Hunting Coalition website, mdhuntingcoalition.org. You'll see all this on there if you want to read the extensive review of that. It's all there. We're going to talk a little bit about what we did in 2016 coming up here after the break. But right now it's time for me to tell our friends about Clyde Sports Shop. Clyde Sports Shop is a leading Browning dealer here in Baltimore. They have all the Browning firearms for hunting, for shooting sports, shotgun sports, for home protection, personal protection, the handguns, and the whole thing. And I particularly like the A5 for a semi-automatic shotgun. I will own one day. It is a very, very, very nice gun. It's very ergonomic. It's recoil, you know, the lack of recoil. It's a 5-year or 10,000-round guarantee on the A5. It's available in camo. It's available in, you know, blue and steel or steel, blued steel and wood. It's available in a bunch of different applications for your hunting. And then there's the BPS pump, bottom ejection. It comes in 410. it comes in 20. 8, it comes in 20. It comes in 16, it comes in 12, and it comes in 10-gauge. So the BPS pump shotgun, you know, if you love a pump shotgun, that's the one to get. And then for Satori, for Sporting Clays, the Satori Sporting Clays model 725, that is the great gun for all your shotgun sports. Your Sporting Clays, your trap, your skeet, you got it all. And then there's Upland models available, too. It's all at Clyde Sports Shop. They do the gunsmithing. They do the scope mounting and bore sighting. They'll clean your firearm. They'll repair it. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit number 9. Clyde's Sports, with two S's in the middle, .com is the website. Phone number 410-242-6108, 242-6108, and they're open 7 days a week. Now, if you enjoy gardening, I always like to recommend Schillinger, Papa John's Farm in Severn, Maryland, just off I-97. Bill is amused. Papa John's greenhouses are just bursting with beautiful plants and flowers, annuals by the pack or flat perennials by the pot. They've got the bedding plants, the planters, the hanging baskets, colorful pansies, impatiens, petunias. They even carry the proven winter specialty plants. Now, Papa John's Farm has all the vegetable plants, too, ready to plant in your home garden. Tasty tomatoes. Lovely tomatoes. Squash, onions, watermelon, cantaloupe, 10 varieties of hot peppers, and even herbs for all the cooking that you do. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97, exit 12, 8029, New Cut Road in Severn, and that's the exit to New Cut Road. You can drive right to the greenhouses and make your selections or call 410-969-5909. You think about flowers and plants from Papa John's Farm for your garden or for your church. That phone number, 410-969-5909. Papa John's is open every single day. Visit Schillinger, Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you. We'll be right back after this. Hey, Maryland's Upper Eastern Shore has a rich tradition for dove and waterfowl, deer and turkey hunting, and now you can hunt over a dozen Upper Shore farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership, like I did, and hunt all season long, or call about guided day hunts with Upper Bay Gun Club, or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Give Tom a call at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse. near you. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
I want to be a rock star.
I want to be a fireman.
I want to be a baseball player.
I'll be a chef.
Cause it's like the coolest job ever.
You get to ride around in a giant bus. The chefs get to cook yummy cheeseburgers, pizza, and chocolate, everything.
I would be the pitcher because they get to do something all the time.
They get right on those trucks and never have to stop for red lights or nothing.
And you get to play really loud.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a defect in the immune system that affects millions. Early detection can give children a chance to dream. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 1-866-INFO-4-PI.
My plan is to be the youngest pitcher to ever throw a no-hitter.
All right, a cookbook that's just for kids.
I know I'm going to be famous because my mom and dad call me the little star.
And that pole you slide down? Cool!
Jeffrey Modell Foundation. 25 years of helping children reach for their dreams.
Maybe it's time to take a fresh look at everything we thought we knew about landing a great job. For instance, perhaps great careers start at the middle school science fair instead of at the job fair. Because the fact is, the jobs of the future will be heavily geared towards science, technology, engineering, and math. In other words, STEM. So if you're a student, talk to your school counselor about STEM. If you're a parent, talk to your kids. A public service message from America's Navy.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Sean Casey, Frank Luber.
Hi, this is Tom Mark.
Rush Limbaugh.
The Sean Hannity Show.
The Mark Levin Show.
The Savage Nation is on
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Bill Miles, who's the advocate, lobbyist for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. Bill was able to come up from Southern Maryland, spend a day with us while we pre-recorded a show today. And we're just having a good time here talking during the breaks and that type of thing and enjoying each other's company and talking about what the future is for the Maryland Hunting Coalition. But let's take a look at this year's General Assembly. Early on, we talked about Sunday hunting. We talked about the Senate bill 1061, the 1030 bill, but the signature driver for the Maryland Hunting Coalition this year was punishing poachers. And again, if you go online to MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, you can read Bill's perspective on the Sunday hunting deal, I think you called it Maryland Hunters Defend Sunday Hunting, which we did. We defended it against repeal. And then another article that you talk about, Maryland declares war on poachers. And we did. We were inspired by a meeting on National Hunting and Fishing Day weekend, September 27th, where we called together the hunting community. I think we had 24 folks there in the room from 11 different organizations. And number one priority was poaching. Take it from there.
So the coalition reached out to the hunting community rather than just single-handedly decides what issues are important to them only, and we will continue to do that every year. We'll have our biannual host summit where we basically invite the hunting community to come in and tell us what their thoughts, ideas, and concerns are,
right,
and we'll see what we can or can't do. On September 27th, when we had our meeting,
yep,
the number one issue, like Alan said, was the poaching issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, okay, You know, if you're going to go down to Annapolis and talk about poaching, you go back to the analytical perspective, the white paper. So, in fact, we did our research, and this is how it generally works. We get a lawmaker to ask the questions to that we develop to the legislative staff agency, and they basically give us back the answers. And from that, we're able to craft the arguments and the rationale behind a statutory proposal.
Give us an example of what kind of question you would ask.
Okay.
On poaching.
Okay, the poaching issue, well, one of the questions was, you know, what are our neighboring states doing on poaching? Okay, what are the existing penalties right now for poaching in Maryland? Well, you know, what state has the most punitive law in the nation, and how effective has it been in deterring future poaching once that bill's been enacted? Along those lines.
Yeah, those kinds of things. I mean, I think there were 12 or 13 questions, and a lot of it dealt with internal stuff within, you know, how DNR keeps records and, you know, where the money goes and all that type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, it was very deep and very detailed.
Well, you know, you spend a good period of time just developing the questions because you want to be able to go down to Annapolis and answer the questions. You got to put things in plain English. So, you know, we did our research, and we actually found that Iowa has, in our opinion, the most punitive bill. I mean, a couple of states, it's all based on Boone and Crockett. Okay, some states have, like Ohio and I think Kentucky, have a formula, okay, where it's based upon the girth of the antlers and whatnot.
It's a total inches of antler score, but the formula is like an algorithm or a multiplier where, you know, once you get to a base number and then any inches over that, it's multiplied by X factor. Which equals dollars and cents and that type of thing. I mean, it's like, holy moly, it's a complicated deal.
Something I wouldn't want to have tried to pass in the General Assembly.
In the General Assembly of Maryland, right.
So Boone and Crockett, I mean, Iowa, we conferred with their head of their law enforcement, and we found what they do there is they have a law that basically says if you kill a white-tailed antler deer under 150 inches of Boone and Crockett, you pay a restitution amount. You kill a buck over 150, you pay an even higher restitution amount. And in both cases, you perform 80 hours of community service. So we thought, our intent here is to deter, okay? Because you look at existing law, and the existing law is basically you go out there and you commit a wildlife offense vis-a-vis poaching, which wasn't defined by Maryland law until we did it with our Poaching Restitution Act. The minimum for the first offense was $1,500, and then went up to $4,000 for the next one. But we heard of case after case after case where the courts were slapping these poachers on the hand with minimal fines, dismissing. In fact, we had that one Carroll County case,
I'll never forget it, 44 violations. The guy was hunting on Druid Hill Park. He was hunting on the Maryland Zoo property.
Unreal.
With a tree stand. Killing deer, letting them lay, going back a couple days later, retrieving the deer under cover of darkness, taking them out, having them processed, and whatever he was doing with them. He had six deer that were Pope and Young minimum, 135-inch deer or bigger. So I don't know how many 150-inch deer he had, but he had some pretty good trophy bucks, six of those mounted on his wall that he poached. He had a tree stand. He had a shotgun, he had a crossbow, and he had a compound bow, all confiscated. He was charged with 44 wildlife violations. He got to court, pled guilty of 5. He was fined $1,000 for all these years of wildlife violations. He was fined $1,000. The judge suspended $500 of it and suspended his hunting privileges for 1 year. Slap on the wrist. That wasn't even a tickle under his ear.
And we bring that up because that case was actually referenced on the Senate floor during the debate.
Yep.
Is proof as to what's going on out there. And, you know, you put yourself in the perspective of the courts. I mean, they deal with, you know, they have high docket volume, and they deal with all kinds of unsavory cases. And when it comes to, you know, deer, given the fact that some will claim there are too many deer in Maryland, that, you know, it's not really a focus for them in terms of being punitive. And we should probably talk one of these days about the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act, which we passed in 2012.
Well, that was a precursor to
that. Yeah, it was a precursor. And if you look at the preamble, the bill of the Poaching Restitution Act, which was Senate Bill 266 and House Bill 410, identical bills. The preamble talks about the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012, which was the first time, and we helped get that through as well. I worked on that before the coalition, and that bill gave DNR the authority, based upon a court conviction, to suspend or revoke one's hunting license up to 5 years. And the idea being, you know, if the courts aren't going to crack down on the bad guys or repeat offenders, this would give DNR the authority to do so, and so we got that through. But that only talked about suspending and revoking hunting license.
Right.
We thought it's time to hit these guys in the pocketbook. So we did our research. We did Iowa. We met and conferred. We sent it out to the hunting community and developed, again, Senate Bill 266 and House Bill 410, which did this. It defined poaching, the illegal taking, hunting, and killing of deer. Mm-hmm. It said that if you kill a Sitka deer or a white-tailed antlered deer under 150 inches as measured by Boone and Crockett, you will pay a minimum of $2,000 to a maximum of $5,000. You will pay that, and that money is credited to the State Wildlife Management and Protection Fund, used by DNR's Wildlife and Heritage Service for habitat improvement, enforcement, research, etc. Doesn't go to the general fund where we get lost.
Right.
And you will perform 80 hours of community service. If you kill a doe, a white-tailed doe under, kill a white-tailed doe, you're going to pay $300 to $500 or perform, 40 hours of community service. That was basically a Western Maryland amendment. If you kill a white-tailed antler deer, a buck, a trophy buck, let's just say world-class trophy buck, over 150 inches, you're going to pay, based upon a court conviction, a $5,000 minimum and up to a $10,000, in the opinion of the court, $10,000 fine, and 80 hours of community service. So, in essence, then, if you're out there and if you're gonna go out there and willingly poach, instead of only having to pay a $1,500 fine if you get caught for the first time, now you will pay these high dollar fines and you will perform community hours of service, service of 80 hours. We think. We can't absolutely claim it for certain, but we think Maryland now has become one of the, if not the most punitive state in America.
I'd say top five.
For poaching. I mean,
top
I think
three,
Texas
five.
Is probably ahead of us, maybe Kansas.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't. But east of Mississippi, we're number one for sure.
Mm-hmm. No question.
So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing, and that was not an easy battle in the General Assembly either.
No, sir. That bill was put it this way.
it was opposed before it was even heard in committee.
Yeah, it was
the Judiciary Committee read the bill, and the Judiciary opposed the bill. The Judiciary branch of government opposed the bill. Because of the mandatory fines.
They thought that the General Assembly, especially a non-judicial committee, which in this case was the House Environment and Transportation Committee in the House, and this our friends in the Senate Education, Health and Environmental Affairs Committee in the Senate, had the bill, and they were basically imposing criminal sentencing guidelines. And the Judiciary thinks that's something that should only be done by the judicial committees, if done at all.
Right.
They like to have the judges have total discretion. You know, just like the NRP with strict liability,
total discretion.
You got to tighten these things up to protect the individuals afield.
And there were shenanigans in the Senate. The bill was special ordered day after day after day.
It was horrible.
Amendment was added to pretty much gut the bill.
The bill was gutted.
It definitely gutted in the Senate.
The bill came out like introduced out of the Senate Education, Health and Environmental Affairs Committee with unanimous vote, despite the Judiciary's written position of opposing the bill.
Right.
When it got to the Senate floor, this is just public record.
Sure.
The chairman of the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee was successful in laying the bill over several different times. And then was successful in basically gutting the bill by doing this. If you killed a deer under 150 inches, you would pay anywhere from $0 to $5,000. And if you killed a buck over 150 inches, Boone and Crockett, you'd pay a minimum of $0 up to $10,000, which goes back to the case. The courts could just charge someone like this Carroll County guy with a dollar.
$50 or $100.
$50.
Yeah. What's a deer worth?
We were like, well, we don't want the bill
and
now.
The argument from the courts is always, well, aren't you trying to kill all the deer in Maryland?
Exactly.
And that's what they tell the NRP. You know?
So we made it clear that we wanted the bill to die. But at the same time, we were still working as we do to get the bill passed as we liked. When the dust finally settled on the bill, the House passed the bill over like we wanted, even strengthened it, went from public private lands to public lands, and instead of having an option of community service of 80 hours, it was mandated in addition to the restitution fine. And the Senate, despite having passed the bill earlier with the provisions I just said, ended up unanimously voting for the bill as well, Senator from the House. So at the end of the day, like strict liability, we overcame an impediment, legislative impediment, and prevailed. And the bill passed with this case, except three of 188 lawmakers, or 185 lawmakers passed the bill.
Exactly.
We're waiting the governor's signature now, which is going to be next Thursday.
Well, we're recording that today. That was 3 days ago when this show airs.
Exactly right.
May 19th, my birthday. That's okay, Bill. Yeah, that's all right. All right, folks, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Time to book your dove hunt with Upper Bay Gun Club. Hunt over sunflowers on great farms loaded with doves. Dove hunt runs $150 per person and includes lunch. Hurry, the early dates are filling up fast and space is limited. Hunt deer, waterfowl, and turkeys on private farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership like I did, or call about guided day hunts or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Chances are you or someone you know has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Millions are losing their sight to AMD, and I'm one of them. Getting that diagnosis was terrifying. Thankfully, my doctor caught it early, and I was able to receive a treatment that's helped me keep enough vision to continue reading and doing what I love. Not everyone is so lucky. That's why you should visit your eye doctor and learn the warning signs. The Foundation Fighting Blindness provides free AMD information kits with everything you need to know about preventing and managing the disease. Call 1-800-632-2005 to request your kit today. Anyone can get AMD, but you don't have to be a victim. Knowledge is power. So whether you or a loved one has AMD, or you just want to learn more, the Foundation Fighting Blindness can help. That number again is 1-800-632-2005. Don't wait. Call today.
Hi, I'm Demi Lovato. I've always dreamt of using my voice to make a difference. What I didn't expect was that mental illness would get in my way. Living with bipolar disorder, there were so many times that I felt like I was alone. The hardest part was dealing with my bipolar depression. I finally hit rock bottom and decided to get help. Then slowly things started to change. For me, it takes speaking up, finding the right treatment plan, taking care of myself, and getting back to what I love. After finding the right healthcare professional and opening up to family and friends, I realized that bipolar disorder may be a part of my life, but it isn't who I am.
Go on and try to tear me down. I will be rising from the ground like a skyscraper.
Living well is possible. Even though sometimes it seems like hard work, you're worth it. Visit BeVocalSpeakUp.com to use your voice to make a difference. That's BeVocalSpeakUp.com.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
September, fall is coming. I got a feeling and I can't control it. Rumor has it at the hardware store, 6 inches wider than the year before.
Okay, so we're back with Bill Miles. But before we talk to Bill, I got to do a commercial here for Clyde Sports Shop. I just forgot it the last break. That's all.
Great place to shop.
What's that?
Great place to shop.
Clyde's? Absolutely. Yep. Great place to shop. We'll do it. We'll just tell the folks that if they want to go fishing, they want to go crabbing, they want to go hunting, or they need a firearm for self-protection or home protection, Clyde Sports Shop is the place to go. They're located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off Beltway exit number 9. If you need bait, tackle, you need ammo, they have the new Browning ammo, by the way. They're a full-line Browning dealer as well. Stop by. See Clyde Sports Shop. They have a brand new sign up on this building that they're very, very proud of. You ought to see it during the day and especially at night. They're open 7 days a week. They honor all major credit cards. They have all the services, rod and reel repair, the wind line on your reel. I've had that done a couple times this year. They'll clean your gun. They'll mount a scope. All the services as well. Fishing, hunting, and crabbing. It's the place to go in Baltimore. Their phone number is 410-242-6108. And their free fishing hotline, 24-hour fishing hotline, that phone number 410-247-3474, 247-FISH, Clyde Sports Shop. Bill, we were talking about the Poaching Restitution Act and the penalties that were passed by the General Assembly that Maryland really has declared war on poachers. They really have.
It's a zero-tolerance policy.
Zero tolerance is exactly right. And it was a struggle to get it through the General Assembly, in particular the Senate. The House was not nearly as difficult. And we want to thank our sponsors. Baltimore County, Senator Johnny Ray Solling was our premier sponsor in the Senate. And in the House was Delegate Anthony Tony O'Donnell from Southern Maryland, who sponsored that bill in the House.
True champions.
True champions for sportsmen. No question about it. No question about it. Which brings up the issue of support for political candidates for elected officials. The Maryland Hunting Coalition not only has a contract with Bill Miles, who's sitting here in front of us, to do his work, to, you know, do his 24 hours a day, 365 days a year work for the General Assembly and do those hundreds of hours of research on those analytical perspectives and, you know, crafting legislation and soliciting sponsors and do what you do. Then you show up to testify. You show up to lobby the folks that need to hear about our bill and encourage them to vote for it, in favor of it, or against a bill that could go against hunters. But we also have that political reality that when the folks that help us have a fundraiser throughout the year, they do that for a reason. They do that to maintain their campaign, to, you know, tell folks that they need to be reelected and that type of thing. And quite frankly, we have to support it. The Hunting Coalition has a tax status that we are allowed to support political candidates. We're not allowed to endorse a political party. We're not allowed to endorse a political candidate, make any recommendations on our website about who should be elected and who shouldn't be elected. But we do have permission not only to be an advocacy group in the halls of Annapolis, and we are allowed to make political contributions, and we have to do that to maintain our good working relationship with some of the folks that help us along the way. And whether they're on a particular committee or they're a sponsor or they're, you know, in a position to help or hurt, you know, we've got to know each and every one of those people. And the day after the General Assembly ended, I got my first letter. I'm having a fundraiser. And then they kept coming. And, Bill, you've gotten them, too. You've gotten letters. You've gotten emails. You've gotten the whole deal. So, anyway, that's where we are. How would you like to wrap up the next few minutes?
First off, I've enjoyed this, Alan. I really have. I've enjoyed the people that are listening here, the kind of people that we represent, the
exactly.
kind of people that are kindred spirits, truly conservation-minded sportsmen. Other than to say, you know, Annapolis is a tricky place, and I mean, it really is. I mean, you got to give credit to the founding fathers and whatnot. They've created a system of landmines, a maze of complexities to the outside observer to see how an issue becomes an idea, how it becomes law. It's involved.
Let's do this, Bill.
It's pretty cool, really, but it's involved.
Cool. Real cool. We've got one of the best at it sitting right here in front of this microphone, Bill Miles. Let's talk about a few accomplishments of Bill Miles. I know you don't like to toot your own horn, but they're on the website, okay? Sunday hunting.
Mm-hmm. That was a big one, yeah.
Funding for the Maryland Aquatic Reef Initiative, MARI.
Maryland Artificial Reef Initiative, MARI. Two bond bills, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Almost $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act, 2012.
All right.
You did something with the NRP a couple of times.
Conservation Law Enforcement Act of 2010.
Tell us about that. Quick.
Yeah, the Conservation Law Enforcement Act of 2010. I mean, if you look, one of the problems we're having, of course, with poaching and even the strict liability and whatnot is the natural resources police, God love them, are really underfunded. So much so that when we got and it was the hunting community that advanced the Conservation Law Enforcement Act of 2010, which was designed to recognize the importance and the role and the multifaceted operations of the NRP and actually give them a mission statement, which they hadn't had. The two revenue sources we had to bolster the ranks were deleted, unfortunately, which propelled lots of us to see if we couldn't get the governor to add more money to it. The General Assembly in 2012 put out a language in the budget. It's called the Joint Chairman's Report, asking NRP and the Department of Legislative Services to really quantify how understaffed the NRP are. And they came back and basically said, look, if we had 75 additional law enforcement personnel, poaching wouldn't be a problem. We could get out there and enforce better than we are, because in 2006, a commission on government restructuring and efficiency said that the Natural Resources Police should be merged with the Park Rangers. And when they merged those two groups, to many of us, totally unwarranted, two different missions, it basically then, in many ways, diverted NRP's primary mission of enforcement to the parks, where, quite frankly, you know, it's just a park. And not diminishing what park rangers do, it's just that the Natural Resources Police had a statewide responsibility, whereas park rangers didn't.
Right.
And as a result, you know, their functions got watered down, their personnel got spread out, and all you have to do is go hunting, and you hardly see them anymore out
exactly.
there. And a lot of hunters and fishermen are going, where's the NRP? They're just undermanned. And so even to this day, the NRP are insufficiently manned, and the recession since 2008 have decimated general funding for the NRP, and quite frankly, they need more of them.
Right. So you said all that to say?
That
What did that have to do with the Act of 2010?
Oh, it was all designed to try to recognize their role and to provide more general fund support, which has to come from the governor.
Right. And we still need that. We still need 75 officers.
Absolutely, 75. It might be 70 now because it was in 2012, but still more than what they've got.
Yeah, we could debate this for another hour and do another show. But, you know, my whole thing is that, you know, now we have the Poaching Restitution Act. We need officers who do nothing but handle deer poaching cases. We need a task force in the NRP. And I think there are some tools coming down the pike that are going to help us with the collection end from the courts coming down the pike to help out with that part, too.
That was a strong selling point in the Poaching Restitution Act, that those dollars paid for restitution go back to DNR
right.
and not the state's general fund that they get lost in the mix.
So it all goes to benefit Hunter. So, all right, Bill, my friend, we are out of time for this hour. We're out of time for this show. I want to thank you greatly for coming in and spending 2 hours with us here and pre-recording this show and getting a lot of heavy-duty information out to the hunters and the anglers in this state. Maryland Hunting Coalition, mdhuntingcoalition.org. We could always use your support. We've got a $150 50-man dove hunt. We're giving away tickets. We're selling tickets on a UTV and... Bill, you're a great part of the organization. You are the organization. We owe you a debt of gratitude, and we thank you for being here today.
Much appreciated. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Folks, we'll see you next week.